Yes, we're Perry and Nancy. It's good to be here with you. We'd like to share with you five key activities that are essential to mission, no matter whether it's here in Concordia or in another country around the world. From 1 Corinthians 13:3. We all know the passage, or have a pretty good idea of what it is, the love chapter. We look at the first three verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Father, as we look at this passage today, help us understand what you're asking us to do and how that impacts the world around us. Amen. Five things are in these three verses that are all part of what we can do and what we're expected to do. The first one is language. We've seen this passage, you know, the tongues of men and of angels. We speak Spanish. They consider that the language of heaven. It's the fourth language we've had to learn. We started with Creole in Sierra Leone, Pidgin in Papua New Guinea. Then we had to learn a new version of English in Guyana, you know, the Caribbean, Yaman. And then we get to, you know, Panama, and we're speaking Spanish. We're still learning Spanish. We'll probably spend the rest of our life learning Spanish. But the point of all this is we have to communicate. And today we're using English. I'm sorry, I don't know Kansas, your version of English from Kansas. Although my family did live here when I was small. My parents were house parents at Miltonville College. And I was about a year old. Have no remembrance of that event. And then we lived in Basser, Kansas. I don't know if you can find these places on the map anymore. And then ended up in Kansas City for a year. But I wasn't here long enough to learn how to speak Kansan. But we do have it. You know, we have our phrases, our language, and the people around us. When we use certain phrases and terms, we know what they mean. Nobody else has any clue, but we do know. And because of that, we have the capacity to communicate, to use words, gestures, body language, and people know what we're trying to say and what we're trying to do. And so part of the first thing all of us are involved in mission, is opening our mouth and saying something that makes sense to somebody else. We can't get much farther if we don't do that. People have no, you know, we don't have mind reading skills. God does that. Jesus knew the thoughts of man, but they didn't pass that skill on to us. So the only way we're going to find out what people are thinking is talk to them. So the first thing, first area of mission is communication. The second area, the scripture uses the word prophecy. That's a big word. We get really confused when we use this word because we tend to go to what's going to happen tomorrow. And then there's really weird stuff. We were in Panama 3 years ago. Some guy in California predicted the world was going to come to an end. Jesus will return on October 22nd. Millions of dollars were spent, poster boards, commercials. I don't know what was going on here, but in Panama it was everywhere. And it had up there, October 22nd. So we go, wow, October. And then people were selling property and giving it to the money to this guy to tell the world. And October 22nd came, and 23rd came, and we're still here. And the 24th came, another announcement. I got it wrong. It's November 22nd. And I'm still here, and that was 3 years ago. So I guess he got it wrong. Actually, the concept of prophecy in Scripture has to do with helping people understand God's word and knowing how to obey and follow the plan of God. That's what most of prophecy is about. And so we all have that ability. I enjoyed Sunday school today. It was a great time. I'm listening to people thinking, and I have to work hard at keeping my mouth shut. I'm used to doing 12-hour seminars. I just finished a 6-hour seminar in Spain, and then I flew back and we drove all day yesterday to get here. I got in midnight on Friday. So I'm already doing it right now. I have no problem talking. But every one of us can go to God's Word every day and read it and study it, and we have sessions, Sunday school classes, we have sermons. We all have access, and we all encouraged to know the Word of God. And this is not about education. I have a lot of it, okay? I've got two masters, one in theology, one in divinity. I have a doctorate in missiology. But I have no more access to God's word than you do. I use the same commentaries. Yeah, I studied Greek, but you know, I can't remember my Greek. So I have to go to the books. And we are all encouraged to do this and to learn what God's word says and how to apply it to our life and gain the knowledge so that we can become wise in what we say. So that's one, learning to talk, and two, learning what to talk about.
Let's talk about culture. I'm sorry, I'm just getting over laryngitis, so I hope you can understand me. The scripture talks about mysteries of life. Well, let's talk about culture, because that is a mystery. I'm a Norwegian. I'm very proud of it, 100% Norwegian. When I go back home to northern Minnesota, I fit right into my family life. I know exactly how we're going to talk. I know what we're going to eat, when to be quiet, when to talk. I just kind of fit right in. And Perry sometimes struggles with that because he doesn't understand my family culture.
I'm Swedish.
Yeah. And I would say that there's a culture here, right here in this church. Concordia Wesleyan Church probably has their own culture. I would expect that many of you sit in the same seat every Sunday. You know when to stand up, you know when to sit down, you know where the coffee is, you know where everything is. You feel comfortable, you feel at home. Missions is about stepping out of that culture, out of that comfort zone. A couple of years ago, as it said on the video, we took a group of church leaders to the Andes Mountains of Peru, 13,000 feet in the mountains. It was cold. You know, we were bringing Latinos from Panama and these warm places, and we were up in the Andes Mountains. It was really cold. Dirt floors, a single light bulb. Ladies, the bathroom literally, seriously was over the river and through the woods. And no kidding. And we ate guinea pig. I asked for a cup of tea one time. I was really cold, and the lady said, of course, and she filled my little metal cup, and she took me outside, and she just picked a couple leaves out of the tree and stuck them in my cup. And that was my tea, and it was the freshest cup of eucalyptus tea you would ever get, you know? And it was good. Why do we do this? To bring people out of their comfort zone, out of their own culture, out of their own language, and help them find ways to minister to the people that need to know Jesus, that are different than them. In August, well, let me back up. One of the really, really cool things happening in Latin America is that by 2019, our goal is to send missionaries from Latin America to the Muslim world. Isn't that great? And Perry and I have the privilege of training these potential missionaries. So in August, we took 6 potential missionary candidates on the Amazon River in Brazil. We had one from Ecuador, Nicaragua, Mexico, Colombia, Nicaragua, and Brazil. Already a mix of cultures. Right? Took them on the houseboat that we rented for 11 days on the Amazon River. 14 people in total when we included our helpers that went with us. We slept in hammocks on the bottom deck of the boat, hip to hip, seriously, folks, hip to hip, 14 hammocks just strung in a row in the bottom. We had classes during the day. We talked about hard cultural issues. We talked, you know, what does the Bible say? What would Jesus do? How do we respond? And then after classes, we would dock our boat, and we would go into some of these villages, and we would meet with the people. We would observe their life. We would participate in their lives. We would worship with them. We would learn phrases of their language. Again, out of my comfort zone and thinking, how do I reach these people with the gospel of Christ? And what do I do? What do I do? And how can I step out of my comfort zone? And I would expect that you don't have to go to the Amazon River to do that. You could probably do it right here in Concordia. Step out of your comfort zone. Reach people who don't know Jesus. Reach people who are of a different culture than you with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The next area is faith. Anybody here moved a mountain yet? That's the one we always default to. If you have faith the size of a grain, of a mustard seed, you can tell the mountain, yeah, get out of there and go over there. And not too many, no? No takers? How many have moved mountains of seed, mountains of corn and wheat in your life? Yeah, not all at once, but yeah, every year you hope to get a bigger mountain than the last year, right? I've moved mountains of sand one shovel at a time. You know, in Sierra Leone, we had to dig it out of the riverbed, throw it in the truck, and then unload it. No tipper. All by hand. Dig all everything by hand. No backhoes. Haul all the bricks. Mix all the sand, cement, everything by hand. Mountains of it. Faith is really not always about how fast something happens, but our belief that it will happen if I keep at it. That if this is truly of God, it doesn't matter how big it looks or how long it takes, I'm going to do it because God said so. And we all can do this. I mean, you know, going to our neighbors, talking to people, it's not going to happen in one moment or one day. Getting to know someone can take weeks, months, years. And that's the challenge. Do we have the faith that if I will keep doing what God has called me to do, God will provide, and the doors will open someday. Maybe not in my time, but because I have been faithful at shoveling that mountain of sand, it will move. And so this is, you know, something we all have to learn and all can be involved in every day of our life, taking steps that are necessary, because sometimes the biggest step of faith is the first one we take to our neighbor. The scariest person we know is our neighbor. We're less likely to talk to them than we are to a stranger. So faith. Let's see. I've got to go back.
Before we talk about the fifth area, we're going to go back to this scripture and we're going to read it together. Okay, so let's read these few verses together. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Let's talk about sacrifice. You see a couple of pictures up there. You see a picture of some guys shoveling and doing concrete and all that. Probably a few of you have done that on work teams, correct?
How many are here? February.
There you go. We see a couple in the back. It is a sacrifice. We've hosted an awful lot of work teams over the years, over 30 years in the different countries we've lived in. And these men and women come and they do sacrifice money and time and they sweat and they eat foods that are different and sometimes they get sick and sunburned and they're away from family and it is a sacrifice and we do really appreciate that. The other picture up there is a picture of myself getting chemotherapy. Some people say that I sacrifice. And I didn't make this PowerPoint, and I tend to disagree. I don't think I sacrifice. But let me just take a moment to say that almost 11 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And God has been so good. It's come back two times. It's settled quite happily in my liver, and it's pretty stubborn, but so am I. And I have a good God. I still am in treatment. I take chemo pills every day. But the Lord knew, even before we went to Panama, that I needed to be there because I have awesome care there. I go to a Johns Hopkins hospital in Panama. I have one of the top oncologists in the region. And my doctors here in the States, they'll every month says, I don't understand. You've got cancer in your liver and it's not enlarged and your numbers are great. They're like normal and I don't get it. And I said, I do. It's God. So thanks for praying. But because of how good God is, I just don't feel I sacrifice very much. But in March of this last year over Easter, we saw sacrifice. I told you that by the year 2019, we hope to send missionaries from Latin America to a Muslim country. And so in March, we took three Latinos, Perry and I, to a Muslim country. I can't tell you where it was for security reasons. But we went to this Muslim country over the Easter week to investigate the possibilities of sending missionaries and are there opportunities for Latinos in those countries? And we found out that yes, a resounding yes. The Latinos look very similar to the Muslims physically. They have a lot of cultural similarities and they don't have the political baggage that people from the United States have. So they really are very welcomed and there's just tons of opportunities there. But when we were there, we had the opportunity to interview a young man who had converted from Islam to Christianity. He was a very educated young man. He spoke three languages. He was looking for a job. Now, in this country, everybody gets an ID card. And there's, besides your name and address and all of those things, there is a little slot on your ID card for religion. And because he was from this country, it just automatically said Islam. Well, when this man became a Christian, he had that changed to say Christian. He needed a job, so he went in, he applied at several different places. I'd love to work here. Yeah, that's great. Your qualifications are great. We'd love to have you work here. Can we see your ID card? Ah. Christian, sorry, no work for you here. He heard that over and over again. This man was not beaten like a lot of his Christian friends were in that country, but he was isolated from his family. He couldn't find a job. We saw sacrifice. We were there over the Easter Sunday morning. What do Christians do on Easter Sunday? Where do they go? They go to church, right? So the group of Christians that we were with wanted to go to church, but there were threats out that morning against Christians because the government and the leaders knew that Christians would want to go to church, and so there were threats out. But the group we were with said, hey, we're going to church. So we went to an unmarked office building. We went in the basement of the unmarked office building. And then we went below the basement into a room. It wasn't dark, it wasn't dirty, it was clean, and there were tables and chairs, but it didn't look like any church you've been in. And we worshiped God. And as we were sitting there and standing there singing, I was really overcome with emotion for two reasons. First of all, I had to stop and I had to say to myself, Nancy, look where you are Easter Sunday morning and look who you're worshiping with. And I thought that was amazing. But then secondly, I thought, Nancy, look at who you're worshiping with. There are people from different countries and nationalities here and they've got kids and they're pregnant women and little kids and big kids. And I thought, just outside this door are people that want to hurt the people I'm worshiping with, maybe even kill these people. We saw sacrifice because those people were determined to be there to bring the word of God to the people outside. As we traveled around that country, we saw the Muslim men carrying this in their hands. And they would keep it down by their side like this, but they would be going bead by bead. Now, there are 33 beads on this chain, And in the Islam faith, they have 99 names or descriptions of God, or Allah in their case. So they would go one by one. God is powerful. God is the creator. God is just. God is this. God is that. There's one description of God that they do not have. They do not believe in the God of love. It's missing. That's why those people were sacrificing. That's why those people were in that church that morning, because they want to tell the people on the outside about the God of love. That's why we're sending missionaries to this Muslim country. And that's what we need to do here as well. Tell people about the God of love.
How do we define failure and success? Well, that was the introduction, so now we can start the sermon. Very Latino. We do cycles. Sermons are in layers. You go through it once, you go through it again, and then again. We're not afraid to stay a long time. Church services are two and a half hours, 3 hours long. So this two services between 9 and 11 won't work. The key word in all of this is love. We say a lot of words that have no love in them. We've been through that. We've had the politics of the election year. Been a lot of nasty stuff. But when love is evident, people listen. And people know, they know whether you're just talking, saying stuff, or if you really mean it. And love makes the difference. And when it comes to truth, love protects us from becoming false teachers. It keeps us on track. Keeps things in focus. Why am I teaching this? Why am I studying this? Why do I want to tell you about what God's word says? You know, when there's no love, I try to twist it so it makes me look good. When really the word of God makes all of us look in great need, lost. And that's what love keeps that in focus. Where is the real answer? When it comes to culture, love helps us people understand why we are trying to understand them. You know, we've been asked, why in the world would you leave the United States to go there and not have that, not have this? You know, even grandparents say, why are you taking my grandkids? Now it's on the other side. We're on the other side. The grandkids are staying home and we're going. So, you know, we kind of wondering how, thank the Lord for Skype so we can talk to our grandkids. But it keeps our direction clear. You know, why do we want to understand this? Why are we going to eat, you know, things like frozen, fried guinea pig? And I had some more food experiences in Spain, and you know, their diet. Every country's got something different. Why are we going to do that? Why are we going to change how we dress and how we do stuff? Instead of eating at 6, we eat at, you know, in Argentina, you eat at 11 o'clock at night. That's a really strange hour to be eating. A big meal, like a turkey dinner. And it provides access. People really get interested when you're willing to change how you live to help understand them. The knowledge and power of God and faith. When there is love, it reveals God, not us. You know, our love of God and our love of others, when we have that kind of faith, people see not who we are, but see who God is in us. And that's how love changes the idea of faith. The last one, sacrifice. All of life requires sacrifice. How many of you are parents? Yeah, what happened that first night you came home with the baby? What'd you give up? A night of good sleep. And you gave that up for a long time after that, and you kept praying, Lord, let him sleep through the night so I can sleep. You know, there's a lot of stress goes on there, but sacrifice. And you keep on sacrificing for those kids. You give up money for what you want so they can have food and clothes, education, and then, you know, like I've got a daughter, and she says, how much are you going to pay for my wedding, Dad? I'm going to make another sacrifice. But when there's love in there, people understand why we're sacrificing. And we begin to do things without condition. You know, you don't have to pay me back. This is not about what I'm going to get. This is about making sure you know God. Well, now, if we're really going to do a Latino thing, we'd go through this again. Now, that was round two. Now we're in round three. And we begin to understand what happens and compare the difference of love and no love. And we talk about, without love, my words really don't have any meaning. They're pretty empty. Without love, my knowledge of God's word is, again, empty. It's just head knowledge. And I mean, we see that all the time. Liberal theologians have really, you know, just messed with our world right now. And the big word now is postmodernism. And that's a complicated word, but it really means most of us grew up with the concept there is a God, no questions asked. The new generation grows up, there's no such thing as God, no questions asked. And so you can't use the same arguments and same thought process because the philosophy has changed. And they want to see the reality of your love, not just the words you speak. And that's what love does. It takes it beyond just another philosophy and another level of words into something much more real. My ability to serve doesn't work without love. It doesn't work. I'm going to share a phrase in here a little bit about what that means. My actions are selfish and misdirected without love. They're not really a good concept of where I'm going with this. And why am I moving this mountain of sand? Just to make everybody think I'm a pretty good guy, that I know how to work hard? And my idea of sacrifice has no value. Well, I'm kind of repeating, in my own words, the summary statements that Paul made in that passage. But we really need to hear it, because sometimes we just don't get it. So the Latinos are pretty good at this. I'm going to tell you again, and I'm going to make sure I tell you. And then when we're all going to done, now we're going to start getting into conclusions. Two things to keep in mind with all of this. We've been talking about action. Things that all of us can do wherever we are. Doesn't matter if we're in this country or another country. Action without love is always self-centered. It's always about me. That's a pretty cold statement, but that is the truth. Action without love is always about me and what I get. I enjoyed the Sunday school class because that's really was the point that Jesus was making with this young man. It's all about you, right? You kind of got that. All about me and what I'm going to get. The other side of this is love without action does not exist. You say you love me, but you don't do anything about it. 1 John chapter 3, John uses the word love 32 times in his little book, but in John chapter 3, and I'm not going to give you the verse, I like, you know, a little search situation, you go find it, but John is pretty blunt. He says, if you say you love your brother and you don't do something, you're a liar. I mean, I'm not changing what he says. He's that blunt, that direct. If you say you love them and you don't do something, you're a liar. I'm sorry. I wish I could make that softer, but when the Word of God speaks, we don't have the right to soften, change, or alter what it says. It says what it says, and it's true. And when Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel, he wasn't saying, now think about it, do a lot of nice talking, and then don't go. He made it pretty clear that we have to go. There was no option. He took it, everybody said, you will be my witnesses. And we only have two options. We're going to be a bad witness or a good witness. You say you're a Christian, you're going to be a good one or you're going to be a bad one. And so here it is. You know, action without love is self-centered. Love without action does not exist. Mission is what we do. It's who we are. And when God said he loved the world, his whole concept was mission, going. You can go where we can't. I can't go to your neighbors here in Concordia, Kansas, in the area. I don't live here. I live somewhere else. And the jail ministry is a great example of the third group, Samaria, those who are rejected and outcast. Not all of us are going to go to the jail, but we can make sure that it happens. And not all of us are going to go to some other part of Kansas or to Missouri and help plant a new church, but we can make sure it happens. And for sure, not too many of us can go to another country, learn a language, learn the culture, and live there. We can send teams, like scouting parties, You've done a great job in Ecuador. I enjoyed my visit there. I got to go to Ecuador a couple years ago, and a young lady, Daniela, was in the group in Brazil. And God is working in her life. It's exciting to see what's happening. As they just started a whole training program for leadership this year. And so this is great things that are happening. We thank you. You can send people when you can't go yourself. That's Romans 10:14. How will they hear if no one preaches? How will they preach if no one goes? How will they go if no one sends them? We send ourselves to our neighbor. We send ourselves to the area around us. We make sure someone from us deals with those who are outside it. And when we can't go, we make sure someone can go. That's the big picture of mission. We make sure that there is action. Our love has meaning, and people see it.
And the greatest example, of course, is Jesus. He learned a language. He taught the truth. He lived in a culture. He depended on God, and he sacrificed his life. And we are called to do the same. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for caring for us. You guys are awesome. Thanks for what you're doing here and around the world. We'd love for you to pick up a prayer card. We have some in our back, in the back. If you would put it in your Bible or your refrigerator or wherever you put it and pray for us, we would love that. There's also a card out there if you want to sign up to get our email newsletters. We will friend you on Facebook if you want to, but there are some things that we cannot put on Facebook, especially when we're talking about the Muslim ministry. We have to protect our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in very dangerous situations. So if you would like to get our email, just put your name and email address on the card, and we would be happy to add you. God bless you. Thanks for what you do. And Pastor, thank you.